Somewhere a bird sang. Nobody was interested.
You what? Terry said.
Maybe Theo didn't hear him.
Excuse me?
Who, me?
Yes, I take it you live here.
Yes, I'm a lawyer.
I'd sort of gathered that. Please, can you tell me, where can I find whoever's in charge?
John turned and pointed. Right there, he said. That's the king of the dwarves. The tall one with the pained expression is the high elf, and the little chap with the tusks is Mordak, Dark Lord and King of the Goblins.
Gosh, really?
No shit.
Theo nodded. That's lucky, he said. And who's that over there? The man chasing after the pretty girl waving an axe.
John frowned. Him, I don't know, he said. She's the Dwarf King's cook. Actually, I think she may be one of your lot.
He hesitated.
I suppose I really ought to go and rescue her before he does her an injury.
Before the injury, Theo repeated. I guess lawyers are different here.
Ah, well.
The man with the axe had stopped chasing the pretty girl and was talking excitedly to another man, dressed in melodramatically swirly black robes, who John knew very well.
That's my client, he said. The one who hired you to...
Yeah. Theo looked at him.
Seems to me that the fat chap with the axe is your client's boss.
In which case, he added, looking very sad indeed, he really ought to hear what I've got to say, too.
Could you do me a big favour and get their attention for me? I'm shy, he explained.
John looked at him, then nodded. He wasn't going to enjoy this, but never mind.
There's one fail-safe, guaranteed way of getting people to listen to you in the realms.
John took a very deep breath, lifted his arms above his head and yelled, "The eagles are coming! The eagles are coming!" Then, blushing like mad, he stepped back into the shadow of the tower. Everyone, except the fat man with the axe, stopped what they were doing and stared, first at the sky and then at John. Then there was a long silence. Then someone said, "No, they aren't." John nodded. "Just kidding," he said. "But there's someone here who wants to talk to you."
He scuttled round behind Theo, who smiled feebly and gave a little wave.
"Ladies and, gentlemen," he said, "I have an announcement to make. The result of the Rexit referendum is now in, and reality... 7754/88/842C has voted leave, effective forthwith. A42C is no longer part of the multiverse. Thank you for your time."
Dead silence. Apart from a horrified scream somewhere near the back. Then Mordak detached himself from the summit conference, waddled forward a few paces and said,
"Say what?"
Theo closed his eyes for a moment. Perhaps he'd actually believe that he could get away with simply stating the abbreviated truth and making a run for it, but probably not. He sighed.
"Let me explain," he said. "Let's just run through it one more time," Mordak said.
It was cool and shady under the marshmallow tree, where Mordak had led Theo after his goblins had dispersed the riot that followed Theo's explanation. Theo was feeling a bit better now, though he hadn't touched the skull of nice cool water Mordak had given him,
or even had a nibble of the plate of dry roasted toenails.
Sure, Theo said wearily. Why not?
Mordack took a moment to order his thoughts.
You come from another realm, far, far away.
That's right.
And your lot have recently found out how to get to our realm by going through a hole in a sort of bun.
It's...
Yes, that's right.
Mordack nodded. With you so far. And this is because of multiverse theory.
Check. Mordack rubbed the side of his head, taking care not to gouge grooves in his flesh with his claws as he did so.
Multiverse theory states that there's lots and lots and lots,
an infinite number,
and lots of realms, and they're all sort of separate, and the only way to get from one to another is through this bun. Yes?
All right then, yes, broadly speaking.
Fine, Mordack said. Just so long as we've got that straight. And these weird humans I've been so worried about lately, they all came from your realm.
That's right, Theo said. And it's all my fault because I invented the...
Well, the bun. You're a baker.
Particle physicist, Theo amended. Same sort of thing, but...
He shrugged. No point, really.
And I didn't actually invent it. That was a friend of mine. But I sort of set the whole thing up. Something I now rather regret.
Mordack gave him a kind smile.
Don't beat yourself up over it, he said. From what I gather, there's a lot of people who'll happily do that for you. So, all the weirdos
came from Reality A42C, yes, my home.
Mordack peered at him.
You sent them here?
Dear God, no. That was that odious little man who was hanging round just now.
Apparently.
I'd heard someone had got hold of a U-space portal and was up to no good with it. But honestly, I didn't make this mess. I'm the one who's got to clear it up, that's all.
Mordack picked a fibre of troll fillet out of his teeth with a splinter of shin bone.
That's the spirit, he said. Duty first and all that. So, what's this Rexit thing?
Theo looked very sad indeed.
Short for Exit from Reality.
Apparently, he said, when the folks in Reality A42C realized they were part of a multiverse comprising an infinite number of alternative realities, it made them feel uncomfortable. Not sure why, he added, but there you are. And I suppose there's worse crimes than being parochial. Anyway, there was a lot of fuss about it, some people saying it was good to be part of something big and huge and wonderful, and some people saying, next thing you know, they'll all be over here taking our jobs. And so they decided to have a referendum about it, and now Reality A42C is leaving the multiverse for good.
Ah, quite.
It wasn't the result anyone expected. But that's democracy for you. And what that means in practice is I can set up U-space portals on every street corner and people can stare into donuts till they're blue in the face and nobody can get into or out of A42C ever again.
He shrugged.
No great loss as far as the rest of the multiverse is concerned. Except they're going to have to amend all the textbooks to read infinite number of universes minus one. All a bit silly, really.
But good for us, Mordack said.
No more weirdos from your realm coming over here trying to throw us out of our homes.
There's that, yes.
That'll do me.
He chewed a fingernail, his own for a change, and asked,
What about those humans in the old wizard's tower and the other lot down the old abandoned mine? Can they go back?
I don't think so.
Ah, well. Talking of which, you look like shit. Are you feeling all right?
Theo gave him a feeble grin.
I think so. That's what's worrying me.
Ah. Only, I was thinking, presumably you can't go home either.
Oh, that no big deal, believe me. Truth is, I made a bit of a hash of things back in A42C, so I'm really not welcome there anymore. That was one of the reasons they chose me to come over here and announce the result of the vote. And don't come back, they added. Screw them, I say.
Theo massaged the front of his head thoughtfully.
It hurt. Rather like the way your face hurts after you've had a tooth out, and the anaesthetic's worn off, and you start exploring the blood and jelly cavity with the tip of your tongue.
It's gone, he thought.
Oh, and by the way, I think I owe you an apology.
Mordak gave him a sideways look.
It's a weird thing, he said. But I don't often get apologies from humans. Still, I'm always up for a new experience. What did you do?
I sort of killed one of your people. Sorry.
Shrug.
Humans kill lots of goblins, he said, and vice versa. Stuff happens. We believe that when we die, we go to a vast, dark city where the derelict streets are alive with rats and strange creatures jump out on us from dark corners, and either we eat them or they eat us. So dying's not so bad, really. Of course, your lot think that's just some crazy myth.
Theo shook his head.
Oh, no, he said. It's real, all right. I've been there for conferences and to see the Yankees play at home. And we have similar beliefs where I come from. Similar-ish, he frowned. But I really am sorry about your goblin. She wasn't really doing me any harm. I don't know what came over me, he added, though I have a sort of an idea.
Hang on. She wasn't.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was a female. I remember thinking, good heavens, they have female goblins in this reality.
Had, Mordak said. She was the only one.
Ah.
I created her. I thought it would be a good idea.
Theo nodded slowly.
And was it?
I don't know. She didn't really last long enough for me to find out. She was bigger and stronger than the bog-standard goblins, and smarter, and she learned stuff amazingly fast. So, probably no. Not a good idea at all. Ah, well.
He stopped and peered at Theo, who was looking thoughtful.
What?
What made me kill her, Theo said slowly, was this sort of thing that suddenly popped into my head.
I get them, Mordak said. My secretary calls them ideas. She thinks I shouldn't have them.
It was more than that, Theo said. It was like a presence.
What? Birthdays and winter solstice and stuff?
Like there was someone else inside my head, Theo said. And now it's gone. It was there a while ago when I went into the tower. I even bashed my head and knocked myself out just to get it to shut up.
Maybe you killed it.
I don't think so. Not the killable type, really. It's hard to describe, but when I try and think what it was like, I get this image in my mind of a huge, staring red eye.
Mordack blinked twice.
Oh, he said.
Rings the bell?
Oh, yes.
At the foot of the tower, currently in deep shadow, was a shallow pool of dank, muddy water, left over from the last torrential rains. On its surface, a reflection shivered in the slight breeze. An odd thing, because there was nothing for it to be a reflection of.
Frustrating, thought the eye. So very near. That other realm, tantalizingly close, and crammed with infinite opportunity, where, by the sound of it, a quintessence of evil could really have made something of itself, fulfilled its true potential, a place that sounded like it was specially designed for evil to feel at home in. And then, at the very last moment, the way through had been shut, so firmly and suddenly that if the eye had had lashes, they'd have been caught in the door. Story of my life, the eye thought sadly. You get within an ace of the finishing line, and some furry-footed bastard thwarts you. Oh well. Onwards and upwards.
The reflected eye swiveled on the pool's grubby meniscus. Well, if it couldn't have the other place, it'd have to make do with this one. The glimpse of the other place made everything here seem tawdry and provincial, but that only made the eye more determined. If it couldn't have what it really wanted, what it deserved, then it was going to have to make do, wasn't it? And woe betide anybody who got in its way this time. It remembered the body it had occupied briefly before the somewhere else human. Now that had been some body. For strength, stamina, and speed of reflexes, there was nothing to compare with it in the realms. Unless you counted a certain person we don't talk about, and there's an awful lot to be said for brute strength. Also, a surprising amount of brain capacity, most of it currently unused, so moving in would be easy. Plenty of room for all its stuff, walk-in wardrobes and everything. Now, if that body was still available... No, wait. The stupid human killed it. The eye thought about that. Killed, yes. But a little patching up here, a rewiring job and a bit of duct tape there... Maybe a certain degree of hearing loss, and a slight tendency to yawn uncontrollably after meals. But she'd do. At least, to be going on with. In fact, she'd do very nicely. The eye had never been a girl before. Not for any significant length of time. It might be fun. The eye rippled a little, stirring the water on which its two-dimensional image lay. Not a dark lord, a dark lady. Cool. It reached out into the nebulous, tentative element it inhabited. The interface between light and darkness, the gaps between the photons, the places shadows go when you aren't looking. Until it found what it was looking for. Inert, but not quite cold, and no physical or mechanical damage. Definitely a viable fixer-upper. And they'd been friends right up to the very last moment, which could easily be erased. So she'd be ever so glad to have him back. No big deal, then. Something that could be achieved in the blink of an eye. There was a soft splash,
and the water of the pool swelled and rose up to accommodate the mass of an object that had landed in it, after falling some considerable distance. For the record, it was Terry Barrington's laptop, hurled from a high window as punishment for not working anymore. The water gurgled, the laptop sank and settled down into the 3-inch-thick bed of silt at the bottom of the pool.
"When you've quite finished,"
muttered the eye, as it waited for the surface of the water to calm down enough to hold a coherent reflection. It recognized the strange rectangular thing. The fool in the tower had used it to see the other place, the place that was now closed off, lost forever. The thought didn't improve the eye's temper. "Somebody is going to pay for all this," it resolved. "Somebody is going to catch it hot. Lots of somebodies. Everybody." The water settled. The eye blinked and was gone.